Thanks, Roxy. That was really good. I texted Julia this afternoon and asked her if Roxy would be interested in singing a special. I told her that song right there would go along with my message pretty good. And Julia texted back in about 30 seconds and said Roxy was in. Now, she didn't have to think about it, but I think that's what letting your light shine is all about, is being willing to do whatever the need is. And I think we really need to be in prayer for our young people, especially with school starting back in a couple of weeks. You know, their classmates, Roxy, she may be the only Bible any of her classmates will ever see or read. So I think we need to be in prayer for them. If you would, tonight turn to the book of John, chapter 2. John, chapter 2. Now, I believe we would live in a world that everybody wants proof of something. You can tell somebody something, but they want proof. Now, if I told Brian that I was the best guitarist in the world, better than who the best guitarist is in the world, if I told him that I was better than that guitarist, would you believe me or would you want to hear it? You'd want to hear it, wouldn't you? I think everybody would want to hear it. Well, I'm not, so you won't hear it. John chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read a few stories about how Jesus proved to the world that he was Jesus, and then I'll get to the message. John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day was the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have all well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So they got this wedding. They go to the wedding, and these weddings, I think, they lasted like a week long, from what I understand back then. And it's a big deal to run out of wine. So they were low on wine, and Mary was there, and I think that she was just wanting Jesus to do something about it. I don't think she was really expecting a big miracle, but she just didn't have any choice and expected Jesus to do something about it. So Jesus turned the water into wine and proved to his disciples that he was Jesus. It says in verse 11, and his disciples believed on him. So he proved to his disciples that he was Christ. Now if you flip over to John 4:15-17, I want to read another one. This is when Jesus was with the Samaritan at the well. 15, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that says thou truly. So Jesus is talking to the woman and tells her to go get her husband. She claims that she doesn't have a husband, but Jesus knew everything about her because he's Jesus. He knew everything about her. And Jesus said, you do have husbands, you have five husbands. So if you read down, if you drop down to verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. You know, that woman, she went back and told all the Samaritans what Jesus, how Jesus knew everything about her. And if you read, it says many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because Jesus proved to her that he knew everything about her and that he was Jesus. Many, she went and witnessed, and many of the Samaritans believed on him. Now I've got one more. We'll go to John 4, stay in John 4, 46. And so Jesus is, he comes back to Cana where the first where the wedding was at. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. There's another action speak louder than words. He says, until you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. 49. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour of the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house believed. Now, at the wedding, do you think that whenever Jesus turned the water into wine, that the people at the wedding, do you think that they witnessed to people and told people about that story? No, I believe so, because when he comes back to Cana, that nobleman, he wanted some of Jesus. He wanted his son. His son was about to die. He wanted his son to be healed. So Jesus, he healed the son, and it says, himself believed, and his whole house believed. So with all that, that's all introduction. With all that, I think we're put on this earth for two reasons. Number one, I think that we are to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the second reason I think we're here for is that to be a witness, to further the kingdom of heaven, try to teach others about Christ. But you know, if everybody wants proof, how do we prove the lost world that we have Christ? How do we show them that we have Christ? And that's where Roxy's song comes in. We have to flip over to Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I read this and I asked myself, what is our light? It says, let your light so shine before men, but what is our light? Anybody know what our light is? Testimony? Got testimony? I agree with that. I wrote down our salvation. You know, I think that I don't think we have a light until we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Until we acknowledge that we're lost and believe on Him, put our trust and faith in Him, and ask Him to come into our heart and save us, I don't think we have a light. But once you get saved, I think you've got your light. But it's easy to, a lot of times it's easy to lose that light. Not lose the light, but lose the joy of that light. So I think our light is really the joy of our salvation. I believe that's what our light is. But how do we make it shine? I think we all know, once we're saved, we're all, just like Randy Taylor preached the other night, says we become a new creature. Once we're saved, whenever you do wrong, you know you've done wrong. I think that we know right and wrong. But we can't live in sin. To let your light shine, you can't live in sin. It's just like I told the kids earlier, I said, they're all at the age where they're fixing to get introduced to alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be. But how can they, if they're saved and they partake in that activity with their friends, if their friends ask them to drink with them and they start drinking, how can they witness to the friend? Because their friend's going to know that they're drinking with them. They're not going to, you know, they're going to say, why would I want to be saved if you're doing the same thing as us? So we have to prove to the world that we have something that the lost wants and the lost needs. and that's salvation. But a lot of times, I mean, we can't lose our salvation, right? Does everybody believe that? We can't lose our salvation. Can we lose the joy of our salvation? Anybody think we can lose the joy of our salvation? A lot of times we get caught up in worldly activity, worldly lust, whatever it is, and we lose that joy of salvation. But I thought about David, and David, whenever he went into Bathsheba, he was living in sin. He was living in sin. I think it started eating him alive. I think it was bothering him really bad. If you would, turn to Psalm 51. And I'll tell you. Psalm 51, verse 10. This is how David got his joy back. He just prayed to God. But here's his prayer. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Until we get our hearts pure with God, it's going to be a hard time to lead a lost person to Christ. Now, I think that, like I say, actions speak louder than words. I think that the lost, they want to see, they're watching us, all eyes are on us, all the lost, they're watching a saved person just waiting for them to mess up. That way they can point the finger and say, you claim you have Jesus, but really you don't. And I think that's why we've got to really be careful what we do and why we really need to let our light shine. And once we go back over to Matthew, sorry, I'm jumping around. Hope I ain't chasing rabbits on you. Back in Matthew, where was it? 5. Now, if we agree that we're put on here for two reasons, and to accept Christ as our Savior and to be a witness, if we lose that joy of salvation, what good is that to a lost world? Now, I told the kids, I said, have you ever needed a flashlight at nighttime, something you're working on, something that's dark? You ever need a flashlight and the flashlight's out of batteries? What good is that flashlight? It's no good, is it? It's no good. It's just like, right here, chapter 5, 15 says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Maybe if we let our light shine, if we start acting like Christ, try to be like Christ, it says men will see our good works and glorify who in heaven? Glorify God. Now, just like these people, just like the woman at the well and the people at the wedding, do you think that if people are watching us and they see us the way we're acting, do you think they're going to tell other people? No, yeah. Huh? Well, if our light shines, if our light shines, they're gonna see us, and I think they're gonna tell other people. I mean, either way we go. If we're living in sin, they're gonna tell, and our testimony's ruined. But if we're shining, if we're trying to live like Christ, I think they're gonna tell. People's really gonna watch us, and once we start living the way we want, God's gonna put us to good work. He says they may see your good works. I think God's gonna put us to work, and people are gonna realize, hey, he's got something going on. He's got something in him we need. And they're going to start wanting it. And then they're going to start asking questions. They're going to keep watching. They keep watching. And I think that's why it's really important to let our light shine. Now I'm going to close with a verse in John chapter 8, 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, Jesus is the reason that our light can shine. But also, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no light. If you was to die tonight, you'd go to hell. So I challenge you tonight, if you don't know Him as your personal Savior, to talk to Him, ask Him, believe with Him with all your heart that He died on the cross for your sins, and you confess to him that you're a sinner. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think that if you're here tonight and you've never done that, Brian, you want to come for invitation. So I think that you wouldn't want to leave here tonight without making sure that you're going to heaven. Maybe it would be tonight to have an invitation. Dear Father, Lord, we just thank you for the Lord. We just pray that you're here to work right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation and the life that you've given me, Lord. I pray that you'll be with everyone here, Lord. I pray there's someone here that's not been their part of it. Maybe let their life burn out, Lord. Do it then. Pray that they may seek you. Maybe rededicate your life, Lord. There's someone here that's never trusted.